Chapter 2. Capability. It was a two-hour trip back home after a very long evening. Mark was exhausted and a little edgy. With the hallway jangle of keys, Barfield was up and stretching ready to do the welcome home wrap around the ankles ritual that his master had learned to tolerate over the past 15 years. Barfield's name was an intended near iteration of the famous cartoon cat, Garfield. His roommates so christened the feline to reflect Mark's heroic inability to hold his liquor in days gone by fraternity drinking games at Northwestern. Mark forcibly popped open the door to his Milwaukee reclaimed factory, Cream City Brick flat. "Stupid thing, catches the threshold in this cold weather," Mark grumbled to himself. The heavy industrial ironclad door had more pent-up inertia than normal, and it banged sharply against the entryway interior wall. Barfield was frozen mid-stretch, and the bang did nothing to startle the cat. It was like frozen, like a taxidermist had been there frozen, motionless. And there was a red dot, pinned like a laser light, visible on the cat's nose. "What the—" Mark trailed off into that earlier evening zone of suspended, timeless animation. At that moment, he knew incredible details about the cat's physical condition, including its live current vitals and an emerging health condition, of which Mark and Barfield had previously been unaware. Weird. How? Why? The answer dawned on him with the force and feeling of remembering. He knew the how and why answers instantaneously, and sensed this added information was an instance and impulse of cybercarbon knowledge. A slight euphoria accompanied this knowing. With something like an a priori thought, Mark realized this feline biomedical analysis was being shared in his mind as a result of the biochip ID and medical implant the cat had received 3 years earlier. It was info he had standard internet access to via the vet's website, but his cell was not connected. He was. Instantly, Mark was back in real time, and the cat took its usual ritualistic first step, and then froze again. This time it was a natural, visceral feline reaction of fear, arched back, spitting and hissing. "Whoa, Barf. Hey, kitty cat. Kumbaya. Barf," a further degraded and unfortunate derivative of the cat's name, was in full freak mode. Mark tried to reach down to console it, but it waddled away as fast an obese 15-year-old tabby ever could, right under Mark's vintage hi-fi cabinet and out of sight. The cat's back bumped the cabinet hard enough that Megan's framed 5x7 fell to the carpet. Mark's 2-year younger sister was the bleeding heart, his oft-used, endeared sibling epitaph for her that had given him the cat. Megan was an altruistic girl of 16 when she rescued Kitty Kitty Boom Boom, its original name. Mark was heading off to college and his sister blessed him with the cat to be renamed later and a Bible. Mark hated cats but loved his sister, so Barf became a live-in, kind of annoying love-hate bonding agent between him and Meg. At another level, the cat came to symbolize the sibling bond of two souls walking different paths in life. He loved his sister, but was not buying into her religion. Barf was a package deal gift from Meg at the time. Cat, meh, Bible, nah. Meg made Mark promise to take care of the cat and make the Bible part of his daily life. He had not lied when he made his promise to do both. Every day after feeding the cat, he used the book as a weight to hold down the broken lid on the kitty litter dispenser. Mark's love bond with Megan was forged early in life, before she or their parents found religion. Mark was born with a congenital birth defect that left one leg 2 inches shorter than the other. Mark was always good looking, but his limp brought him a lot of misery in his grade school years. The cruelest demographic on earth is the global tribe of sixth graders. The first doses of testosterone and estrogen at the onset of puberty make the haves into gorillas and wraiths, and the have-nots into their nameless rabble of victims. Mark wished he were nameless back then. Instead, he was tagged with Hopalong. After one particularly brutal day of verbal bullying on the playground, Megan saw Mark standing by himself next to the school's dumpster in the shadows, on the shaded side of the building. Mark had been crying, but he saw Maggie from enough distance away that he had time to gather himself, wipe his tears, and put on a tough guy grin before she stepped alongside him in his shadowy solace. Megan looked into his eyes and poured healing salve into his soul. "Mark, your legs make you walk like a man." Mark knew what she meant. She had often heard their father tell Mark and their older brother, Max, "When you learn to step over other people's opinions and make your own path, then you have learned to walk like a man." At that instant, Mark overcame his impediment, not physically, but psychologically. When he walked out of the shadows, hand in hand with Meg, he was healed of his paralyzing self-consciousness, and he was forever and fully galvanized against the effects of all the normal bully crap of life. More than that, he had bonded with his sister in a profound, unconditional love, which would ultimately prove to be the greatest power against the biggest bullies of all. Mark picked up the picture, kissed it, and set it back in its prominent place on his prized hi-fi. He was not in the least surprised by his first solo, post-nascent, bio-connected foray onto the internet. As the lead software engineer on the project, he more than anyone understood the technology. He had been instrumental in developing the key software algorithms that helped the telemetry function of the in-host NanoNCT uplink component to successfully connect with AlphaSat. In other words, he was the guy that made it possible for nascent capable humans to access the internet with their mind. No more need for a silicon-chipped smart device. The core nascent genius hinged on the proprietary attribute of the technology that literally made the living human brain the only smart device needed for full access to everything on the internet, per se, and without a proper firewall, potentially onto every hard drive on every computer in the world, whether connected or not, wireless and wickedly fast. The MyThoughts protocol allowed the nascent user to simply think-talk, coining the new techno term, thawk, about a subject, and then request info by a quick blink of one or both eyes. The AlphaSat server array helped send certain signals wirelessly through either cell networks or via the new global Wi-Fi hub housed aboard AlphaSat and into the in-host NCT. Through the circulation of the host's blood across the nanoterminal, information would be sent to the optic nerve along the quickest DNA pathway. Various appropriate optic clues were then projected on external objects through the eye of the beholder perspective of the host. I.e., Mark had opened the door while looking at the cat, and he inadvertently blinked when the door banged against the wall. The NTC in his arm sent a request about the cat to AlphaSat, which in turn made the cat info immediately available to Mark's mind through the internet. AlphaSat also sent a red laser dot to help Mark think about the cat, according to the My Thoughts protocol parameters. The more the user became accustomed to the nuances of the protocol, the more elegant, seamless, intuitive, responsive, and natural was the ebb and flow of requests and information in relation to all the other thoughts of the user. A typical human could master most common internet functions in one day. The technology was far more robust than serving as a means to surf the internet, however. The full potential of the in-host technology was beyond what Mark, or any of the first people to receive the NCT, could imagine. The full NCT functionality was couched in a myriad of security protocols that could only be unlocked by the central computer and servers aboard AlphaSat. For now, Mark and all the others were only level 2 of the 6 major functional stratas. AlphaSat was the off-planet orbital lab, which housed the mainframe data storage units designed and put in place to procure and curate information across the entire spectrum of the zero-grav server, collectively, and simply known as Singularity. AlphaSat was also the part-time personal residence of Nascent's founder and benefactor, Daklaksvia N. Kesar. Dax was the world's first multi-trillionaire. Dax preferred the title benefactor and thought it his mission in life to bring good to all and in all to be good. It did no good, however, to try to follow the money in Quezor's case. Dax was both the best known and least known person on and off the earth. But you could be sure of one thing. Anything you did know about Dax was vetted knowledge, filtered through the intentionality and command of someone at the top of the www.food chain. If Joseph Goebbels ever had a daydream, it was this. But not to worry, de Klaxvier en Quezor was good. A plink tone in Mark's sense of hearing startled him. He recognized the auditory signal from hearing it many times in the lab as a signal sound clue emitted from a speaker external to his ear. But now, to experience it as an intrabody NCT DNA-rooted stimuli directly across the cilia in his ear was a little more like feeling it than hearing it. A tickle more than a tone. Nonetheless, Mark immediately responded audibly. Hello, Serena? Hi, Mark. I trust you made it home safely. Yep. You know you don't have to speak for me to hear you, Thork dear, Serena reminded him. Just like in the simulations. Think my name or picture my face and then think talk. I'll hear your thoughts. Serena, how's this? Better. When you audibilize, it comes across a bit staticky. Yeah, I remember. That's right. The ultimate cell phone. See what I did there? Yeah. And still not funny. The P2P communication capabilities and possibilities of the My Thoughts Systems protocol, combined with the development of a transcoding device and corresponding interface software, had caused a stir the previous year among the big cell phone carriers across the US. Nascent had leaked the information to the right people in the right positions and then downplayed it in the media by officially clarifying that any nascent capability would be used only in medical applications and not for commercial communication purposes. The benefactor had made it clear via global company memorandums and binding directives to the policy writers of all departments that the scaling of all elements of the technology onto the information highway had to be done initially through the legal pathway of the FDA and not the FCC. Even the LLC shell of the company framed the corporate mission of Nascent Medical Institute as primarily a medical enterprise. This talk had important legal and social logistical reasons in the benefactor's mind. The FDA route meant a faster on-ramp of approval and deployment of nascent technology into core processes embedded in the new UHC, Universal Healthcare Care Law, and its relationship to the flow of patient information through the internet. The benefactor was convinced that working with the FDA would clear a way through and around existing FCC internet provider and cell phone regulations. This was a viral-is-vital company deployment strategy. Nascent was banking on casting consumer acquisition and the resulting rapid uplink of millions to NTC Cyber Biocoms through My Thoughts technology as a medical play. Specifically, the strategy was to embed the technology as an indispensable and mandatory information gathering and dissemination component of the legally mandated affordable universal healthcare system. Just like with Mark's cat, every patient would now communicate with doctors in a real-time flow of information never before possible. Diagnostic doctors' appointments would be almost obsolete. Many lab services would also be unnecessary. The biofeedback through the NCT would eliminate any need for a traditional blood draw. For example, more than just replacing rolling up the sleeve, the benefactor had other stunning biological possibilities ready to reveal to the world. The previously unknown field of in-body nanogenetic engineering of living tissues and biological systems was now at his fingertips. Nascent would deliver virtual bio-cyber miracles of every kind in the very near future. If such universal good required the facilitation of certain necessary measures regarding legal, political, and social manipulation and maneuvering, so be it. Those who were closest to the benefactor quickly learned that pragmatism was part and parcel of the nascent ethos. A primary tenet of good was Dax's cherished golden rule: the end justifies the means. The initial medical rollout of the technology would naturally lead to broader consumer communication applications. That was the benefactor's brass ring. Cell phone comms would be replaced by living blood cell-based communications across all platforms. Nascent would be there as the leader of the paradigm shift in how humans communicate with one another. The shift would effectively remove all barriers that had, up to this point in our evolution, left us segmented, divided, and weak as a species. The logistics would be in place so global humanity would finally be able to share one mind and one heart in one good. We would finally be one world, literally sharing one blood. The devil, in those details, would have to stay hidden in hopes that all the usual politicking would give it cover until the seed was planted and the deed was done. No uplink, no healthcare. From FDA to FCC and beyond, this would be a nascent, capable world. Mark, I know you are exhausted, but I just wanted to tell you thanks. The intranascent launch met its objectives. We now have 71 siblings in our family of capability. Dax watched the meeting tonight, on site. He was present, in the stage observation room. He reached out to me as soon as the lights went out, very pleased. Now that all this initial company-wide scaling pressure is off, maybe we can talk about us? I know it hasn't been what it was. I'm hoping. Maybe, Serena. Mark interjected. Like you said, I'm beat. I'll see you Thursday, but plink if you need me before then. Night, sighed Serena. Mark sent her off with a good thought.